Later on the program, we'll be talking about a proposal for a Rockford museum honoring World War II-era women's baseball. But first, we turn to Peoria. The city's south end was once a thriving community, home to about 42,000 people. Many worked in Peoria's industrial facilities along the Illinois River. But like so many Rust Belt communities, industry moved out, and then so did the people. Today, the South End has just 12,000 residents, and if you were to walk down one of its main corridors, West Lincoln Avenue, you'd see dilapidated homes, many left to rot as the city couldn't even afford to demolish them. They're the remnants of abandonment, disinvestment, and growing inequality. But this summer, something strange started happening. Buyers for these homes, many of them from out of state, purchasing in online auctions sight unseen. Some of the buyers had never been to Peoria. Some didn't even know how to pronounce Peoria. Joining us now to discuss this episode and what it means for Peoria are two guests. Greg Jaffe is a national reporter for the Washington Post and has a recent piece on this called The Strange Summer Land Rush in Peoria's Dying South End. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is McFarland Bragg II. He's the president and CEO of the Peoria Citizens Committee for Economic Opportunity. McFarland, thank you for being with us as well. And listeners, our phone lines are open for you at 800-222-9455. We'd especially like to hear from those in Peoria if you have experience buying a property there, especially if you live in the South End. We can take any questions for our guests. The number again, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Greg, let's get right into your story. Where, or I should say, when did these buyers, these out-of-state buyers, begin to buy up these properties in Peoria's South End?
So the story kind of starts with the county tax auction last August, so just about a year ago, and we're due for another tax auction in 2 days. But so the Peoria County tax auction happens last August. A bunch of the homes, 63 of them from that tax auction, get sold to a guy based out of Texas for $751 a house. And that's really where the whole process goes. Those houses, a big chunk of them, about 40-something, pass to a guy from Florida who buys them for $1,400 each. And then slowly, kind of since about March, he's been auctioning them off online on a site called bidforassets.com. and been getting anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000 each for the houses sold to people all over the country.
Wow! So that's a profit of anywhere from 100% to, I'm not going to do that. Try and do the math on the fly like that. But that's a significant profit. Is this primarily a bubble story or a pyramid? I'm trying to think of the best way to characterize what's going on here.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it's a bubble story. So a lot of the buyers, as I found, an enormous number are from California, where the median price for a single family home right now is a little over $800,000. One gentleman I talked to, a barber from Salt Lake City, you know, the median price for a home there just surged past $515,000. And so they look and they see a house, a picture of a house in a place they've never heard of online for sale for $4,000 and think, oh, holy cow, how can I go wrong here? So some of it's that, and some of it is just like, I think people are coming out of this pandemic wanting something, wanting some sort of stability. And I think they feel like, what's more stable than land or a house? And so they see that and they think, well, this is my ticket to some sort of, to certainty about the future of my life that after so many years or so many months of feeling unsettled during this pandemic.
McFarland Bragg, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're from Peoria. You work, as I mentioned, with the organization Peoria Citizens Committee for Economic Opportunity. Can you talk about what this part of Peoria was like in the past and what it's like today? What would someone see if they were actually walking through the streets of Peoria South End, this neighborhood we're talking about?
Okay. Actually, I was born and raised in Chicago. I came to Peoria to go to Bradley. I started working at the agency in 75, and the South Side was a thriving African-American community with businesses, schools, everything that you would want in a community. And as referenced earlier, you know, there's about 40,000 individuals. Many of them worked at Caterpillar, worked at Pabst, the breweries, et cetera. You could get a decent job. You wouldn't necessarily have to finish high school, but you could get a decent job with those factories. Most of those have closed, with the exception of Caterpillar. Caterpillar is downsized significantly. And over the years, it's been just a significant disinvestment in the South Side, which is primarily 61605 zip code. And several years past, it was designated by a national news outlet that it was the worst place in the United States of America for an African-American individual to reside. Many of the homes, because of the disinvestment and redlining and other activities that have gone on, the value of those properties have diminished significantly. You have very few renters, very few homeowners. You have a significant number of absentee, they call them landlords, I call them slumlords. But it's not the same as it used to be. And those of us who are trying to do some things to redevelop the area, we're not frustrated, but this is just another stumbling block that's being put in front of us. And we, over the years, we started in 1997 building homes in the South Side of Peoria, because we're a firm believer that homeownership is what helps stabilize a community. We've built 140 single-family homes in that neighborhood, and actually sold 15 of those to the original renters of those properties, and want to continue our initiative to promote home ownership, because again, home ownership is what stabilizes the community.
And McFarland, can you talk a little bit more about deindustrialization and how, you know, that ties in with this abandonment that we've been talking about and the disrepair of a lot of these homes?
Well, you know, again, several of those factories, et cetera, you know, they've upgraded their process. Those of those that are still here, though, they've upgraded their processes, so they don't need as much manual labor. And so you've got to be technically skilled. You have to be, you know, more into today's technology to do the repairs and production. So, and you know, we have had over the years a disconnect between the school system and what the employers of the community actually need today to fill those positions. So the unemployment rate in that area is probably triple what is being reported by the Bureau of Department of Employment Security. So if people don't have jobs that provide them a living wage, it's going to be difficult for them to invest in acquire a home, keep it up, and do all those things that help stabilize the neighborhood.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about a strange happening, if you will, this summer in Peoria, a number of out-of-state buyers snapping up homes sight unseen on a neighborhood that had been largely filled with abandoned homes. And a lot of these buyers were out of state. A lot of them didn't quite seem to know what they were investing in. We're speaking with McFarland Bragg II, who's the president of the Peoria Citizens Committee for Economic Opportunity, and Greg Jaffe, who's a national reporter for the Washington Post, who has covered this story. Greg, one of the people, and you mentioned somebody in Salt Lake City, I believe this is Javon Michael Culver. Can you tell us about his story, what he was thinking before and now after he bought his property in Peoria?
Sure. He's really interesting. You know, he's a barber in Peoria, has poor credit, which prevents, a barber in Salt Lake City, Utah, has poor credit, which prevents him from owning a home there. And I think he felt like land was the thing. You know, it was a thing that he was going to be able to leave to his children. It was going to be a legacy for him. And I think he hoped also that he would turn a quick profit on this house, you know, either flip it or rent it. But he bought two lots there on West Lincoln Avenue and one house, and saw a picture of them online. He was one of those folks who'd never heard of Peoria before he bought there. he sort of stumbled on this website looking for county tax foreclosure auctions. And it was interesting when I talked to him. I do think he was hoping to turn a quick profit on it. But even after he realized he wasn't going to turn a quick profit on it, he saw it as something that he could hold, that he could pass on to his children. And you know, maybe it was a pathway for him out of, he doesn't live in poverty, but out of sort of financial insecurity and a feeling of instability.
McFarland, in Greg's story, the former, I think it's city's community developer, Ross Black, says that he says these are, quote, unfortunate buyers. I wonder if you agree with that view. Is there a predatory aspect to this?
I don't know that I would agree that it's a, you know, the buyers got taken advantage of. But I do think that there's something else that's going on here. You know, I grew up in Chicago and remember areas that are now around Soldier Field. It doesn't look like it used to look, you know, when I was growing up in Chicago. The area was, you know, somewhat dilapidated, so folks came in and bought up those properties, and those individuals did turn, you know, a significant profit. So information flows, just that individuals who are not necessarily less educated, but don't necessarily have access to the information that's circulating out there about things that are going to be happening down the road, resources that are going to be invested in areas. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, happenstance.
All right. Yeah, that area around Soldier Field you're talking about now, filled with very expensive townhomes and high-rise condos.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we need to take a break here. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. We're speaking about a rush on buying homes in a neighborhood of Peoria that has not seen a lot of investment. In fact, it's seen a lot of disinvestment in recent decades as residents have largely left. We're speaking with Greg Jaffe from The Washington Post, who wrote about this, and McFarland Bragg with a local community group there. More to come on the 21st on this after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking about a recent real estate bubble, it seems to be, in Peoria South End. My guests are Greg Jaffe, national reporter for The Washington Post, who's written about this, and McFarland Bragg II, who's president and CEO of Peoria Citizens Committee for Economic Opportunities. Listeners, as ever, we invite your calls at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Greg, what were the economic conditions in the housing market writ large? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about Salt Lake City, California. What are the economic conditions for the housing market that made this seem like an attractive opportunity, at least on the surface?
Yeah, so we've seen incredible growth in home prices over the course of this pandemic. And that's largely because people haven't been going on vacation, things like that. They have a lot of money saved up. And also home building has been really slowed by the pandemic, both because of a lack of supplies and a lack of labor. So really you're seeing this big housing bubble, and that's certainly driving some of it. I was going to say what surprised me most about this trend, particularly in the South End, is when I first stumbled onto this, I expected most of the buyers to be wealthier folks, you know, engineers, doctors, lawyers, upper middle class people. I think what surprised me was that most of the buyers who were buying these properties on the South End, who had never been to Peoria, were, you know, security guards, preschool teachers, barbers. They were folks who were not wealthy people, and that's what took me by surprise the most, and made me want to get in their heads and understand, okay, what made you want to buy a house in a place you'd never heard of, sight unseen?
Yeah, no, and that's fascinating. You have that anecdote in there about the person who sort of laughingly said, I can never remember how to pronounce Peoria. in the story. At least that's how I read it. I don't know if I can't remember now if it actually indicated the person chuckled as they said it, but that's how it came across. What did people want to, and you mentioned the one individual you profiled from Salt Lake City who thought maybe he could flip it, turn a profit. Were people thinking I could move here and establish my American dream here? Or were they thinking I can establish my, you know, sort of HGTV house flip dream here?
Yeah, I think more of the latter. I don't think anyone was, I hadn't talked to anyone who was planning on moving to Peoria who bought the homes there. They just wanted to own something somewhere. And that's what led them to these houses. In terms of their value, I'm skeptical that folks will be able to get their value out of it. It'll be interesting to see. So many of these homes are really in need of demolition. So if you've bought a $5,000 home that's in need of demolition, you know, that may be another $10,000 just to tear it down and cart away the garbage if the city condemns it. And I have a feeling not all of these homes, but a decent number are well on their way to being condemned.
McFarland, what can you talk, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier with the disinvestment idea, but can you be a little more, let's be clear about it. What role does race and the history of redlining in Peoria and a lack of investment in Black communities play in this story?
Oh, this, it's significant. When we started our first project in 1997, we built 80 single family homes. The second project we started in probably 10 years after that, we built 60. But as we were we right now are operating a home repair initiative. We're actually re-roofing senior individuals that own their property. But one of the stipulations in one of the city programs was that you had to have insurance on the property. And many of the individuals, they own their homes, but, you know, because of the price of insurance in that area, many of them, you know, couldn't either afford it. And so they had to forego getting the roof repaired because they didn't have insurance on the property. And that's been a significant issue in that area for years.
When you, McFarland, when you look at people making these sort of investments, is this the kind of economic development you want to see in Peoria? And if not, what is?
This absolutely not what we're looking at. We are in the process now of we have a pre-development agreement with the city now to redevelop one of the main thoroughfares that divides the 61605 zip code. And we're looking at a combination of commercial development and residential development that will be primarily focused on workforce housing. But again, you know, we have to also partner with, we have a new mayor in the city who has some very dynamic ideas about economic development and bringing in businesses and companies that will be able to provide individuals a living wage so that they can afford workforce housing, they can afford to build affordable housing and things of that nature. So it really kind of just takes a different kind of mindset, and some of the things that she ran on and some of the initiatives that she's wants to bring to Peoria, I believe will help, you know, turn things around. It's not something that's going to take place immediately because you don't turn around 40 years of disinvestment in 5 years, but people have now a commitment to change. They've got a commitment, and we actually, through our state representative, she's been able to garner some support in terms of economic development funding for several projects that will help improve the economy and provide locations and attractions for businesses to move into this area or expand their area, again, providing employment opportunities that will allow an individual to take care of their homes and build a family and continue neighborhood development.
And I should mention to our listeners, we spoke with Peoria Mayor Rita Ali earlier this year. You can find that segment on our website. Good conversation there. Greg, I know your time is limited, and I should mention you were a Pentagon correspondent for a long time for the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, and I know you've been doing a lot of coverage of Afghanistan, called back into that. But I wonder, you're a national reporter. You've reported two stories on Peoria, I think one on Decatur this summer at least. I'm wondering what has drawn you to central Illinois. I mean, Peoria used to be kind of the bellwether for middle America, but I'm wondering what drew you to these stories?
You know, I was just looking for a place to write about this year. I had some success last year writing about Orlando and found that going back to a place several times, I got to know people like McFarland as I went back, and it added a richness to stories. And I picked Peoria initially because I was looking at electricity disconnects last fall when Ameren was cutting people off for non-payment of power. And the one thing that 61605 jumped out at me when I looked at the statistics for Illinois, that zip code, because it had the highest electricity disconnect rate in the state. It was 5.4% of all homes in that zip code got disconnected for non-payment last fall. And I just wanted to understand why so many homes got disconnected. That drew me to that zip code. And I just found it a fascinating and rich place and wanted to come back for that reason.
Greg Jaffe is a national reporter for the Washington Post. His story, the headline on it is called The Strange Summer Land Rush in Peoria's Dying South End. We'll have a link to that at our website, 21stshow.org. We've also been speaking with McFarland Bragg II, president and CEO of the Peoria Citizens Committee for Economic Opportunity. Greg and McFarland, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today on the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.